ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo.
Chris Aceto.
RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch
out, welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm here with Chris, the technician, Aceto. It is May 7th, and we just got done with a very busy weekend. I was up in Boston, Massachusetts on Sunday. Boston, Massachusetts is one of the only shows around that you can actually go on a Sunday, and it's now not only used to be called the New England Championships, now called the Jay Cutler Classic. And I drove up for the day. I got in my car. I zoomed up there with Jeff, the producer, and Pete, the intern, and we zoomed back after the show. We're going to cut to the footage a little later of what went on there. But Chris, I had a good time up in New England. I was hoping you might have been able to make it, but I know you were a little busy for the weekend.
Yeah, I was tied up. But, you know, it's a show with a long history. I competed in that show, you know.
You did?
Yeah, 1989. I won the Collegiate Mr. America on a Saturday in Indiana, and I flew to Boston on a Sunday and got second there to, I don't know, one of these Boston bodybuilders, somebody who in the Boston area would know his name.
That's crazy. That's funny. And what year was that? 89, you said?
89.
Shit. I wasn't even competing yet. That was before even my time. Was Bob Grushkin flying around with you, or was he just...
Yeah, he was out in Indiana with me.
Those are the good old days, Chris. there's been some good champions of the New England's. I think you mentioned to me earlier, I didn't even know this, Gustavo Bedell won one year, right?
Yeah, Gustavo Bedell, he the one that the New England's, or he won another, who was the originator of the show?
I don't know. Jimmy Dakotas, I know, used to.
Dakotas had a couple shows, so Gustavo either won. I remember going with Jay down to guest pose. Actually, Mike Francois was guest posing at one of these Dakota shows. I think it might have been the New England. Mike was at my house. We met Jay down there, and Mike guest posed, and Jay was in the audience looking wide as a, you know, wider than Mike. And Gustavo Bedell ends up winning the show. And I didn't know that till years later when Gustavo, in a conversation, said, it had to do with the context of when was the first time we met, and I thought it was in Europe. He said, no, I won that show. I was full. I was hard. He won one of these shows when he was living in Puerto Rico. He flew up to Boston, and actually, he took his class, and Richard Jones took the overall.
Wow, there you go. There's some statistics for you. That's a good...
And Richard Jones was I remember Jay, me, and Mike saying, this guy, facially and physique-wise, looks like a carbon copy, photocopy of Sean Ray.
Yeah, he did. They did. That's why Sean Ray liked him.
He was 19 or 20.
Yeah, that's why
Sean Ray... He was 20, I think.
He was a guy who never really panned out or did anything great.
No, but he was good when he was young.
Fizzled out. You know, it's funny because that is a show chock full of history. I've actually guest posed there in 1996 for the first time with Dorian Yates, believe it or not. And I was like 290 pounds, like ripped. And I remember that the local, I've told the story before, the local newspaper ran an article on it. And someone sent it to, I think Jimmy Dakota sent it to me. And it was like, they were basically talking more about me than Dorian Yates. So I thought that was a pretty
good
thing.
Well,
nice
they love
compliment.
The mass in New England because they used to have, besides Dorian up there, a lot to guest pose, they would have, who's the guy from Africa?
Victor Richards.
Victor Richards.
I guest posed there actually a lot. I guest posed there, I think, six times total. So,
well, then they super loved MASH then.
I always did very well up there. I have a lot of friends. I was actually glad I got to go up there this weekend. You know, we didn't go to Pittsburgh. There was some problems there. So I went and covered the New England Championship, or now it's called the Jay Cutler Classic. And I know Jay was happy I was up there because it gave a lot of good exposure to his show. And we got all the pictures up already. We got the videos, the interviews up. We got the Phil Heath. Phil Heath looked absolutely mind-boggling there, I got to tell you. He's messed with him in the off-season. He's always like kind of soft and doughy looking. But he wasn't ripped to the bone, but he was big and harder than I've ever seen him. I have a feeling he's going to really dominate the Olympia this year.
Wow.
So that was interesting.
Wow. So what is the game plan for the Mr. Olympia in terms of, is Jay in or is he out?
I got the impression he's out. You know, look, you and I said it right from the beginning. There's no way Jay's doing this Olympia. You said it, actually, you said it when you said when you heard he was getting his bicep fixed. You're like, impossible. And I said, maybe it's not.
I asked some rhetorical questions so we can come back later in the year and say I was right.
I think he knows that he's not going to look. If he's going to beat Phil, who's better than he's ever been, he's not going to come in, you know, half-assed and then lose and then what is he going to say? Oh, I had my bicep fixed. I think what he's going to do is he's going to wait till the following year. I still think he should retire, and I'm sure he's going to hear this. And next time I see him, he's going to bust my balls. But I don't think he's got anything to prove. But I know he wants to beat Phil one more time, and he obviously feels he can do it. But I didn't get the impression he's going to do it this year because Phil kind of was, you know, I'm sure they've been talking. They're friends. And I'm sure Phil implied that I'm going to defend the Olympia title this year. And then hopefully next year I'll have a rematch with Jay up on stage again. So, I mean, that right there kind of, I don't know if he let it out of the bag, so to speak, but he let it out of the bag.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And I don't know if anyone, Kai Greene's the wild card as far as I'm concerned. I don't think anyone else can beat Heath because while Branch could be harder and he could be freakier, I don't think he has the shape to beat Phil Heath. I think the only person who could take him out would be Kai Greene, who would have to be perfect. And I don't know if Kai's head is perfect to get him perfect. I know he's got George Farris sniffing around there, who's thinks he's going to get him perfect. And I hope he does, because I'm the biggest Kai Greene fan that there is probably in the sport. I'd love to see him be Mr. Olympia. I don't know. I guess that to win the Olympia title, Chris, you got to have a very strong mindset. And maybe the pressure just gets to these.
Well, I mean that's a good point. You know, I mean I think you do need a, you know, very different mindset. And I think that, and if you asked any Mr. Olympia this, I know they would agree with it. When you become Mr. Olympia, because Mr. Olympias have told me this, a switch goes off in your brain where you think you're not better. You know, you're different, meaning you're for the better, your mindset even gets that much stronger, meaning you get, instead of resting on your laurels, you get even more focus and you want even... you want it even more to defend the title.
You want to validate that you aren't just a fluke, too.
You want to validate it. That's right. And which means you got the momentum. You know, you got the momentum within yourself. So, you know, Phil Heath looking at Jay, Phil maybe is a different Phil Heath this year. Maybe he's like, you know, he's just internalized that he's Mr. Olympia and he's got the confidence and it, you know, it parlays into his training and you know, his focus.
Well, yes, he's also hitting like 30 now or 31 or something like that. He's kind of hitting his stride now. I think these are the peak years. He'll probably make some good gains over the next couple of years. And, you know, I don't know. He might win it a couple times. I think that if this is, look, when you win it one time, it's kind of like you're really not a lock yet. So I think that if Kai Greene's going to take him out, it's going to have to be this year. If not, I think he's going to have a really tough time beating Phil, you know, moving forward. So I think this is going to be a really important year. And, you know, you're going to get guys like Evan Santapani who have never done the Olympia. He'll be in the mix this year. But I don't think that, I don't know if he's complete enough to beat Phil Heath at this point. And he still has presentation issues and he still has, you know, peaking issues. So, you know, he's the only other guy that I think that down the road is going to be dangerous for Phil. I don't know if this year he will be, but I'd like to see obviously him do well as I'm a fan of his as well. Just real quick, Chris, I want to just go over the Pittsburgh Pro did have three pro divisions. The Pro Fitness that was won by Jody Bohm, Kizzy Vaines was second, and Fiona Harris was third in the Pro Figure division. I heard it was a really tough battle. It was like 31 girls or something like that. Candace John wins. I think that's her, and she notches her first pro win. Jen Strobo second, Jamie DiBernard third, and then obviously in the pro bikini event, which is very popular as well. Actually, I don't know. I think the 21 girls that were in the figure, sorry, and I think there's another 21 girls or 20 girls in the bikini. So these lineups were really stacked. India Paulino wins another pro show. Jamie Baird second, and third was Yashira Robles from the Bronx, New York. Congratulations, represent New York. And so that was that weekend. And then obviously, you know, coming up next weekend, we got some more IFBB Pro action at the Optimum Classic Championships in Shreveport, Louisiana. Now, that's Prince Harrison's show, and he always puts on a great event. We're going to be sending Aaron Jubaka Singerman down there to cover that event. He likes to go to Louisiana because, you know, that's where he's from. I don't know if you're aware. That's where Aaron was raised.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did know that. He left Texas because of what? The hurricane or the?
Well, he left Louisiana because of the hurricane. You know, New Orleans.
Yeah.
So this is his neck of the woods. But Shreveport is actually really nice. Have you ever been there? It's like a casino town.
No, I've never been there. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's like Reno. I've been there a couple. I actually guest posted the very first show Prince Harrison ever threw there several years back. Well, it's probably about 7-8 years back now. And he told me he was going to get a pro event. They've been holding a pro event the last couple of years. This year, they're actually having the first men's event. They're doing a 212 class. And I think next year, they're going to go for men's open. And I told Prince Harrison I will be there next year. They have a men's open. You know, as much as sometimes I'd love to get down to all these shows, sometimes it's a little tiring. So we're sending Aaron Jabaka Singerman down there, and he's going to be doing play-by-play and all the interviews. And obviously, that 212 class is going to be another battle fought by Marco Rivera against, this time, Rusty's going to be fighting off, you know who? Jose Raymond.
You told me he's going to be throwing his hat into the ring.
I didn't know he was going to do the show, and I saw Jose this past weekend. He's from the Boston area. He was judging. I was actually sitting next to him. We were bullshitting most of the night, and he posed for me. I put some great pictures up on the RX Muscle forums. This guy is a real freak. I mean, he's about two. I think he said he's about 213, 214 right now. He thinks he's going to come down to about maybe 202 or 203.
And, he'll be diced.
Yeah, I think he'll be. I think he holds a lot of water. These little guys, you know, the stocky guys hold a lot of water. And I think when he pulls it out, I don't see how anyone's going to even touch him, to be honest with you.
No, he's thick as hell. He's got a vacuum on the front double bicep, which is like no one has.
Right.
Huge quads and huge arms. I mean, that's it balance all over. End of story.
I agree 100%. There's also going to be a pro figure event down there. But, you know, really, the exciting thing is, you know, obviously, it's kind of hanging over there, and we haven't talked about it much, but the New York Pro is really the event that everyone's getting ready for. This is kind of a warm-up for Jose. That 212 class is going to be like the Olympia. It's going to be like the Olympia showdown for these guys because...
Yeah, it is.
You know, we thought English might be doing the Open. According to Jose, he told me that English is going to be doing the 212 class. You know how it goes. These guys all exaggerate about their weights a little bit, and you know, it just comes with the territory. And I think English, while you know everyone wants to believe he's 230, he's not really 230. He's probably walking around about
284 in the off season.
Yeah. You know, as Lonnie Tieper,
what is this?
Lonnie Tieper always says everyone lies about their weight, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's par for the course. Everybody, you know, how big are your arms? 22 when they're like 19. What's your weight? 284 when you're, you know, 244.
Yeah, I don't know the official list yet. They haven't put it up yet, but obviously English is going to be facing off against Jose, and that's going to be a very hard-fought battle. I don't know what other 212 guys that might even challenge them. I haven't seen the list yet, but we'll...
What about the guy who's won the 212 shows, a couple, Don Long's guy?
Al Agusti is not doing the show. It would be nice to see how he stacked up against these guys.
What a battle. That would be fantastic if he did it.
Yeah. This is like an Olympia preview right here. I mean, Jose... Yeah. Theoretically, you and I thought Jose beat English at the prejudging at the Olympia. So he wants revenge here. I know that. He told me. Right to my face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I told you. I sat next to him, Jose, on a plane coming from... the Arnold, and yeah, he's a chatterbox, right?
Yeah, he loves to talk. Yeah,
loves to talk.
Was he drinking? Was he drinking on the plane? No, he likes to drink.
He wasn't. He was talking training. That's all he, you know. And it was fun. You know what I mean? Instead of watching the movie, I was like, oh, great, I get to, you know, yap with Jose, who I've never really sat down with and spoke to at length. But you could feel that he was hungry for the New York Pro the day after the Arnold Classic.
He said,
Kevin's a friend of mine. I like Kevin. I respect Kevin. He's a great bodybuilder. But I can't wait to beat him in New York. And I said, well, you know, I thought you beat him at the Olympia. He didn't. I threw that out there because I wanted to see if he would latch on to it. But he just let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to let it go. You can't hang on to these things forever. Look what happened to Mike Mentzer. He held on to that Arnold loss he took in at the 80 Olympia, and he wound up dead because of it, okay? So never competed again.
I'm sorry I'm laughing, but that is a long time to hold on.
It's true.
You know?
I think he, on his deathbed, he probably was like, fuck Arnold. You know, I think he probably still felt that way. You got to let go. You got to forgive and move on. That's what I'm about, you know. Yeah. It's not that important. Don't take yourself so goddamn seriously. That's what I always tell people. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, in our sport, though, people do take themselves really seriously, very seriously, sometimes too seriously.
Well, they take themselves seriously, and at the same time, you know, I hammer this over and over, and I think I'm just talking into the wind. I always tell bodybuilders, for your last show, meaning if you bombed out, you didn't look good, it has zero negative nada influence on how you're going to look going forward.
Right.
Unless you let it bother you, meaning unless you have the you know, you let that drag on your brain every single day. I look like crap. I look like crap. I didn't look good. I should have looked better. I should have done this. I should have done that. You can't prep for a show that way.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know, it'll just haunt you. Yeah, and that's it's a prevailing, unfortunately, mindset that too many bodybuilders have that I think keep them from just turning the corner where they say, you know what, I got, you know, I look bad for that show. I'm going forward.
True. Very true. Very well said, too. And that's, you know, that's why the guys that seem to are the most successful in the sport are the guys who let go of that and don't let anything bother them. I think that's why Ronnie Coleman was such a good bodybuilder, because nothing bothered Ronnie. Even Steve Weinberg used to always tell me, because this guy's going to live to 100 because nothing bothers him. And Lavroni was like that, too. Nothing bothered him. And I think Flex Wheeler was more, things bothered him a lot. And I think that's why Sean Wright used to break his balls all the time. And that fucked his head up. And a lot of times, I think, I mean, if you look at Flex's physique on paper, no one should ever have beaten him, ever, you know? And he lost. He lost a lot of times to people, probably, that never should have beaten him because he just was off, or, you know, he allowed the you know, whatever was going on in his life to disrupt his training, or whatever went on. So, I mean, it's, you got to have a tough mindset to be good in this sport. I think that's why Jay Cutler's such a good bodybuilder. He just, you know.
You just took the words right out of my mouth, as you usually do, you know, because, I mean, not that it matters, but I don't think the expectation for what Jay Cutler would be when he won his class at the Nationals was what he, you know, equal to what he ended up accomplishing and may still continue to accomplish. And, you know, you know, Phil Heath, he may look the greatest that he's ever looked in the offseason right now. And, you know, granted, Jay probably will skip the Olympia this year. But at a minimum, what you have to say about Jay is that he has the mindset that he whatever he needs in his brain to be able to prep for the Olympia and win it again. I don't think you can say that about people who haven't won it yet. Meaning,
I was going to say, I think once you win it, you know how to win it. Almost, you know the mindset you got to go through. You know the rituals. I mean, obviously, if your physique is not what it used to be, you're not going to regain the crown. But he obviously feels that he still has enough to win it. And I think you have to have belief in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, it's impossible to accomplish anything. So even if people might think you're delusional, you got to believe what you believe, because that will enable you to excel in anything you do. So, you know, someone always asked me, you know, oh, what's this with the positive thinking? And, you know, you can manifest anything by just imagining it. But there's a corollary to that. If you can't see yourself actually accomplishing what you want, you won't get it. So you could say, I want to be a millionaire, and you could say every night, I want to be a millionaire, I want to be a millionaire, I want to be a millionaire. If you can't visualize and feel yourself being a millionaire, you won't ever accomplish that. So you need to have that mindset, the emotionality to go along with what you want. So what you desire has to match how you feel. Does that make sense? There has to be an emotional attachment to it.
Absolutely. Then you got to act on it every single day.
And then you got to act on it, right? Yeah. Then if you don't go to the gym, you're not going to be Mr. Olympia as much as you might fantasize about it at home and feel like you're going to be it. I know guys like that too. They talk the sport better than anyone. They love it. They go to every show. They eat. They do. And then they go to the gym and they train like fucking, like they're at the beach, you know, hanging out, you know, talking to their friends, you know. So there's a lot of different components.
A red flag for don't rent to someone in the apartment business is when they say, I always pay my rent on time.
I know. I get scared when I hear that.
And a red flag for somebody who's bullshitting you in bodybuilding is when they say, nobody trains as hard as me.
You're right, exactly.
That
or I eat a great diet. I eat so healthy. Yeah.
You know? I eat clean. No, clean. Because clean is a very broad, all-embracing word.
Yeah. Yep, said it, man. You said it for sure. And yeah, look, you know, we see it all the time. So I think that the New York Pro might have a couple surprises in that open class, and we're gonna showcase all that next week. I'm gonna save it. I actually did a little preview at Lonnie Deeper a few weeks ago. I'm gonna put that up probably next week. You know, I don't want to overshine the Optimum Fitness show that's coming up in Shreveport this weekend. And once again, Aaron Jabaka-Singerman will be there. And you know, the funny thing is, Aaron, I killed the segment for Aaron's week because we have a lot going on. We're going to, in a second, cut away to Jeff, the producer, myself, and Pete, the intern, in our radio car side chat we had on the way back from the New England yesterday, so you can get the full wrap-up of that show. Then we have coming on the show a little later, Russ Testo. Do you have any history with Russ?
My ex-wife, Laura Crivell, guest posed with them 3-4 different times.
Really? Yeah, he was
twice in Schenectady, once in Detroit. He was in his, like, I think that time, it was like early, let's see, 91, it was about 91, it was probably 20 years ago, he was in his heyday.
Would you say that Russ Testo was the best poser of all time?
No, I'd say he was the best poser he was probably the most innovative for his time, which was kind of like a door that left a door to open or segue, allowed other people to kind of copy him.
Right. And everyone copied him.
So he was innovative. He had done something that nobody else had done before, but at the same time, I'm still a sucker for the, Bob Parris routines to some degree, or the Lee Haney routines. Dorian had routines. We've been over this. People don't do routines anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what I was telling Russ in the interview.
A beginning, a midpoint, a crescendo, and an end, and then boom, I'm leaving. People just come out, pull in their gut at the last minute before they come out, hit a few shots, move to left, move to the right, and leave.
Yeah. It's very boring. I would love to see. And Russ and I discussed a little about this. Possibly, why wouldn't for the Olympia? Why wouldn't they hire Russ Testo to like do the routines for these guys, like choreograph routines for all these guys? I mean, how much would it really cost? You know, $5,000, $10,000 to get Russ Testo to choreograph a routine for every Olympia guy? I mean,
I got the only rival for Russ Testo, John Brown.
I've seen some videos. We've interviewed him on the show. I've interviewed him on the show before. But I heard he was a great poser as well.
Oh God, how long did that interview last? 9 hours.
It was great. It was one of the best interviews. If anyone's
sure
haven't heard,
he's like Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, you got to go back and listen to John Brown. That was one of Sean Ray's idols growing up. And Melvin Anthony.
I do have to listen to that because I sat down with John Brown once. I think it was like late '80s in Orange County Muscle Classic. I think it was with J.J. Marsh, and he was holding court on like 1,000 different topics. And he was like the kingpin in Southern Cal, meaning although he wasn't in the IFBB at the time, Sugar Sean, J.J. Marsh, all the up-and-coming big bodybuilders of the day in that area looked to John Brown for guidance on everything: training, diet, posing, marketing.
He had a million excuses too why he never would show up in shape too. It was a great. It was a funny interview. I got to go back and have Jeff pull it out of the archive somewhere. It's worth listening to.
Have him pull it and post it up under. You know what you should post it under? I would like this to go to the ARC site and be able to see the archives. Yeah. Dave's top whatever or best or favorite
interviews
because there's a lot of people who just have recently discovered.
Sure.
You know, there's always new people coming into the sport and coming onto the site, and they don't even know when you say John Brown who John Brown is.
You're right.
But they might not even know that, you know, some people don't know Rich Gasparri was a competitor. They just think he's a supplement guy.
Right.
So there's always new people coming in, and I'm sure they'd like to hear some of those best interviews.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a good idea. You know, we've been putting some of the interviews on our YouTube page, the more recent ones. I mean, I'm going to have to have Gail go back and dig up some of the older ones because there was some classics that we did. We also have Xavier Wills on the show a little later. For those of you who don't know who he is running the intern-in-chief of the rxmuscle.com.au. That's the Australian RX Muscle website. Chris, we have a sister website now, affiliate in Australia. They're part of our family here, and Xavier is going to be running that site. And there's a lot of I know we have a lot of Australian fans. And I got Xavier on the show to kind of tell his story. You know, he's only 22 years old, this kid. He reminds me of myself a little bit. He's a real hardworking guy. He had a couple tragedies in his life. His brother's got severe autism. His girlfriend died of cancer. And, you know, for someone that young to have such maturity and have overcome such obstacles, I really like him a lot. And like I said, we're going to be supporting this sister website. And he's going to be putting up all the show coverage over there. And he has his own radio show. We'll probably get you and me on there a couple times, help promote that. And I advise you guys to listen to his interview. He's got a great story. That'll be on a little later as well. But Chris, for now, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on rxmuscle.com. Myotropics Physique Nutrition is the most exciting supplement company to come along in decades. That's because Myotropics isn't just another company. It's the brainchild of iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Connolly, the inventor of the original body recomposition product that changed the industry and allowed millions of people to get in the best shape of their life. And CEO Vince Andrich, author of the groundbreaking Physique Athlete Guide. Myotropics' flagship product, Physique 2.0, contains their exclusive Meta Effects Amino CD protein compound that maximizes whole body protein economy, your personal linchpin for gaining and retaining the most muscle while also shedding maximum body fat. Plus, Physique 2.0 contains the world's first legitimate fat-burning carbohydrate, Meta Effects FAO-CHO, for full hard muscle and increased fat burn. If you live to develop the ultimate physique, go with Myotropics, real people that live to develop physique nutrition. Go to myotropics.com. It's your body. It's your art. Master it. Myotropics.com.
There are three aspects to athletic performance: energy, endurance, and recovery. And there is one nutrient that enhances all three: oxygen. Maximize explosiveness and power, increase reps, improve muscular endurance, dramatically reduce recovery times, and enhance mental focus. No matter what your sport, no matter what your level, it's all about oxygen. Check out oxygenforenergy.com. 95% pure oxygen for serious athletes. That's oxygen, the number 4, energy.com.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to tadthedietcoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years' experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom-tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to tadthedietcoach.com or send an email to info@tadthedietcoach.com.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step, that extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at High Protein Bread. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. HighProteinBread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop. And also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australia. In bodybuilding.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by Chris, the technician, Aceto. We're going to cut to the Dave Palumbo, Jeff, the producer, Pete, the intern, car ride home from the New England Jay Cutler Championships last night. It was like about 12 midnight. We were driving a little senile, about 120 miles an hour, coming back down I-95, and I think you guys are going to like the little wrap-up of the New England Championships.
This is Dave Palumbo calling from the car of my Mercedes E63 AMG driving along I-90 back from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm sitting in the car with Jeff, the producer, and Pete, the intern, and the NPC Jay Cutler is now history. It was a great event. We were up in Boston all day today, and I have to tell you, I had a good time. It was very relaxing. It was a restful weekend, and I thought the show went great. Jeff, the producer, what were your immediate impressions?
Well, first of all, I thought that the guest poser, Phil Heath, looked incredible. It was great to see him. I haven't seen him the entire year. I haven't traveled anywhere, so to go to Boston was fun. I thought the show itself was very smooth. Personally, just coming from a male perspective, very enjoyable show to watch in terms of bikini and figure and fitness. And I'd like to congratulate all of the incredibly hot women of Boston.
I was going to say, there's a lot of good-looking women in Boston, don't you think?
Unbelievable. I'm not just saying that. You even commented on a couple of these women that we were seeing walking by. It's
beautiful.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And I found a long-lost cousin I didn't know I had.
That's right. Another Palumbo.
Female Palumbo. There's never any female Palumbos in the sport. And, she was a good-looking girl. She was 21 years old, and I think she competed in figure, but she was a little too muscular. Must have Palumbo genetics. And I think we encouraged her to do women's physique. I don't know if she'll listen to that. Now, Jay Cutler had an opposing view to us.
Yeah. By the way, you're not a judge, Palumbo.
Yeah, I did. I got told by Jay I wasn't a judge, but I think that she will be a fantastic women's physique competitor, especially since she's only 21. What, is she going to stop training now for the rest of her life?
First of all, she's an absolute freak. I mean, when you asked her to take a top off and she had the double biceps.
She didn't take her top off. She took her sweatshirt off.
Well, okay. I meant, the top portion of what she was wearing. Okay. Right, she didn't take her top off. All right. Yeah. She wasn't nude.
She could be a relative of mine. I don't want to denigrate her to put her down.
So, when you asked her to remove her coat, and when she hit the double biceps, I think that all doubts were put to rest that she should definitely jump into women's physique. I actually think that she has the physique that women's physique is, meant to be.
Yeah, well, you never know. The winner of the bikini overall.
Oh, yeah.
She was unbelievable. She was only, 18?
She actually blew me away. I thought she had a very mature look, not only in the face, but just in her overall just package and body, and I hate that word package.
Do you remember her name, Jeff? That's a good one for you.
Her name was a hot chickie.
We don't have the sheets in front of us.
Competitor number 69.
And you know what? The terrible thing is I've interviewed her before when she won the teen nationals in the women's bikini division last year in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hold on, wait. It just came to me, and Dave, am I looking at anything right now?
No, you're
I'm
not.
Looking at nothing, right? Was it King?
Crystal King. I think you're right. That's very good. Courtney King.
Courtney King.
Pete the intern comes up with it.
Yeah, but he looked at it. I'm looking in the back seat. He has pictures going on back there. So.
Yeah, Pete the intern, I am shocked that you didn't try to hit on the younger Palumbo girl. She was kind of cute. I thought she'd be up your alley. Did you try to work your pickup magic?
No, I didn't try to work my pickup magic on her. I was too busy taking pictures.
Yeah, you were working. You were very hard working today, I have to say. You did give us a little taste of your pickup skills, though, when we were walking down, Berkeley Street there?
Yeah.
Well, you know, because I figured that since you wanted to see a demonstration, Dave, I just saw one particular woman walking down the street, and I said, Pete, go ahead. And he handed me whatever he was carrying, and he walked right up to her, and he said, hey, do you think I look Egyptian? And then, like, you know, from there, he basically took over. I was pretty impressed. He has balls.
Yeah, Pete, I have to admit, you did go right up to her. You didn't even, like I would have been, like, probably, if you would have dared me, I would have had to, like, work up the guts. I would have tried to think of something. You went right up to her and didn't even think about it.
Actually, I got to say, Dave, I noticed what your new pickup technique is.
What's my pickup technique?
I was talking to Pete about this earlier. Oh. I think you have... You know what's called the seductive stare. I think you do this like
Palumbo
stare. Yes. And like I think it lasts about 30 to 45
really?
Seconds. And after that you kind of nod your head, you smile.
Uh-huh.
And it's just it's like you mentally, you know, it's kind of you send some strange message to these women. And I don't think that's a technique that could be taught.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know. Maybe I have a new power. I didn't even realize.
It's probably because of the trading cards.
It could have picked up a little power the way. Well, Chris Tuttle wins the men's overall. Let's not forget him. Chris Tuttle was a top, you know, national or junior national, I should say, competitor. He was, I think the last time he had competed, it was at the juniors 2 years ago. He was 222. I guess he took some time off. He got his master's degree. He got married. He went traveling. And he was not working out for a while. He moved into a new house. And he decided, you know, he felt sloppy and lazy. And he competed 15 weeks for this show. He was only 209. But he wins the men's overall here. Were you impressed?
You know, the most impressive thing actually is that, you know, when you saw him, you said he looked so much bigger. When I saw him, he looked solid, he looked round, he looked full. And you basically got him to admit that he gave up bodybuilding style training and actually competed in powerlifting.
He did. So, strongman he did.
That's right,
he strongman. He did a strongman competition, and he actually did something like 390 pounds for like 45 reps or something like that.
Yeah.
To which my response was, well, we have a bros versus pros coming up the day after the Europa Hartford show, and that's going to be at Derek Poundstone's gym, as you know.
Right.
And it's 405 for reps, $2,000 on the line. Poundstone's going to be in it. Mark Lurch will be trying to get revenge on Poundstone.
That's
we
right.
have a couple other heavy hitters coming in. I'd like to see Tuttle show up there and see if he can steal that $2,000 from these guys.
Let me tell you something. If Chris Tuttle can do half of what he said,
what he claims,
yeah, you know what? I would just pay the price of admission, which is free, by the way, to go see this.
That's
but
right.
I mean, if he jumps in, he very well could be the dark horse,
yeah.
Which is something that I think that we needed. Which is the great thing about bros versus pros. You never know who's going to come out
right.
of anywhere. But yeah, Chris Tuttle was incredibly impressive. I actually think that it was no question when he stepped on stage that you knew that he was clearly going to be the overall winner.
And here's, I'll throw another name out at you
sure.
for tonight. Mighty Young.
Mighty Joe Young?
Mighty Joe Young. No, Mighty Bueno, her name
Mighty
is.
Mighty Bueno, oh, yes.
And she won the women's figure
right.
overall. She's from Brazil. She's trying to break into the U.S. market. She's actually a NABBA competitor, NABBA Universe overall champion. So she's got some history behind her. I thought she looked stunning, to tell you the truth.
Well,
I was enamored by her, I must admit.
I think everyone in the audience was enamored by her, but you know, she has one of the best names, right? I mean, it's Mighty Bueno, and if you just left the Spanglish version of that translation, that's Mighty Good, which is hysterical. But yeah, she was from Brazil, and you know, as everyone's going to see on the video that you did, the interview with her after she won, basically she just decided, hey, I'm going to do this show because someone told me that Boston was close to Florida, and like it's on the way to Brazil.
You're
and by the
right.
way, I think I'm going to do a New York show because that's the next show that's coming up. I mean, just such an impressive
I'll
look.
I'll tell you something. These women love to travel.
Yeah.
There was a lot of women from out of state who came and did this show, including the girl who won the girl. What was the bikini girl's name again? Crystal...
I think that
you
was...
You said it before.
No, hold on.
you forgot already?
Hey, Pete, what's your name again?
Courtney King.
was from Chicago, Illinois.
Right.
And she flew in. And you know, I forgot to mention, Courtney actually has school tomorrow.
Yes.
And she's got homework to do.
And
she
yesterday...
She had her junior prom. Her junior prom. Last night,
and you correctly pointed out that she must have been one of the worst dates. Number one, she's dieting; she can't really have too much fun. Number two, she has to go to bed early. And number three, she's like worried about her tan and probably didn't shower the night.
First of all, she's like she's absolutely beautiful, but you know what? If she was going to be my prom date, I would have left her home to tell you the truth, because she had to be a real downer, I'm sure. I would have taken her mom instead, probably.
I was about to say her mom probably could have stepped in the Masters bikini and got the title itself.
She looked good. So yeah, we had a real great group of people. Fern Assard won the women's physique overall.
Yeah, what was this nonsense? You were like trying to start between me and Fern, and she's gonna kick my ass or something.
Fern tells me that she's done some wrestling videos. You know how some of these women bodybuilders do wrestling? I don't know. She was never a woman bodybuilder. She was a figure competitor. Switched to women's physique, but a lot of people were drinking alcohol backstage. In case you didn't know, Jeff, and she said she had a couple of drinks backstage. Yeah. I think she was getting a little frisky. She wanted to wrestle you and me, I guess, to see if she can get an interview. I told her we'll do the interview anyway, and the rest is history, as they say.
She has a great physique, a great look.
Let's get back to Phil Heath, who guest posed. Obviously, Jay Cutler did not guest pose because he had bicep repair surgery, I think 8 weeks or 9 weeks ago. And it doesn't look like, to me, the way they were talking, that he's going to be doing the Olympia this year. I said he wasn't going to do it. Chris Aceto said he wasn't going to do it. He was trying to say he was. I know MD was trying to say he was, probably to build up hype. There's no way he's going to do it. I think he wants to do it the following year. That's what I'm getting from him.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, just based on the short recovery time and also the fact that, if you want to do it the right way, you don't want to do permanent damage, I think the best thing for him is to just skip this. I mean, I can't imagine Jay in his current off-season size, to bring in the ideal Jay that everyone's used to. He should probably skip this one out.
I think he should retire. But you know what? He's going to come back because, you know what, at the end, Phil Heath guest posed, obviously. Then Phil talked at the podium. Jay talked at the podium. And Jay did end his speech with, "I'll be back." The classic Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator line. So I do suspect he will be back probably next year.
Why do you think that he should retire after,
What does he get to prove? Well, Phil is just getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Jay has anything to prove anymore. He's got four Mr. Olympias. The guy's got tons of money. I mean, all he can do is sully his image at this point. You know what I mean? All he can do is worse.
Yeah, but you know what's really funny about all these guys, and this goes for any like competitive sport. You know, when you've gotten a taste of what it's like to be on the top, after you say you want to retire, it's like Michael Jordan. You'll come back to anything. It doesn't matter. You know, like the same thing with Ronnie Coleman. He's been talking comeback for how many years?
Yeah,
now?
I think Ronnie knows it's a good hype mechanism to keep him relevant. I don't think he really intends on coming back.
Right.
But you never know. I don't know. I just, as an athlete, would never want to come back that anything but my best. So I don't see why Jay. I think Jay wants to beat Phil. He feels like, I want to beat him one more time. But you know what'll happen? He'll beat him. If he ever did beat him, he would come and do it again then.
Until he
lost again, and then he didn't retire again. So I don't know what gets in these guys' heads. I know he's got the new Alpha Helix supplement line. I'm sure he's going to make real good money with that. He's still doing a lot of appearances. We saw Sheru from the Sheru Classic.
Yeah.
There, promoting and signing people to contracts.
Yep.
And he got, I guess, Phil Heath signed on. I know he told me Jay Cutler's going to be in New Delhi at the Sheru Classic, not competing, but he'll be there as a guest of honor. I guess he's very popular in India.
And he was talking to a pretty huge audience, 18,000 people.
Yeah, this year they're going for a very big venue.
Wow.
So I might actually be in India this year myself.
Yeah, I know.
Jeff, I don't think you can handle that flight, 18 hours.
You'd
go insane on the plane.
Yeah, but
we'd have to knock you out with Demerol or something like that.
In the worst case scenario, it'll make a good video, just like you exploited me the last time we pulled the stunt.
But I don't want to have to spend 5 days that you have to after an 18-hour flight. And then you got to come back 18 hours, don't forget.
So why don't you put something in the contract that, Shrew gets us out there, I have to have three escorts watching
put,
me.
If we could put you in temporal stasis, I would do it. you could just wake up and it's over.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Dave Filumbo is currently driving in traffic. I'm looking at a gigantic Mack truck to the right, wanting to get it to the lane.
We're only going 100.
Left.
Look.
Oh,
would you look
really?
What the attention assist kicked on?
Wow.
I have a feature of the Mercedes here that if you fall asleep in the car and you get too close to someone, I don't know if you heard that bell that went off. I thought it was your phone, actually. It was the car waking me up and thought I was falling asleep at the wheel, I guess. But that's what happens.
It's 1:57 in the morning, Dave.
Yeah, it's 2 in the morning already. Yeah, so I know. It's crazy. No, that's when we're going to get back at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, right.
It's only 11 o'clock
right now. Oh, God. Oh, well, I guess we still got some traffic.
But it's funny because the navigation systems base it on, the speed limits of the road when you'll get back. But if you've noticed, I always I always beat it by an hour or so.
Yeah, we were supposed to make it in Boston at a certain time, and I think we made it a full hour before, thanks to your
my
erratic, excessive driving, which I happen to enjoy when you're not texting. But.
Yeah, when I wasn't texting, I was actually driving very well, I have to admit. So let's get back to Phil Heath for a minute, because I want to give my opinion. A lot of people have been asking what I thought of Phil Heath, and I will say this. Phil probably looked the best I've seen him in an off-season state. He still has a month before his Olympia diet starts, so this is a good weight for Phil. He's big. He's actually still pretty hard. He's got abs. Usually he gets real soft in the off-season. I have a feeling he's going
to
come in.
Right. In 1 mile.
There's the navigation system. I have a feeling he's going to come in a lot bigger at this Olympia and just as hard. I think he's going to blow everyone off the stage, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I got to see some of the guests posing from a distance. You were all the way up front. He looked big. He looked full. He looked round. I mean, the guy literally walked out of a comic book. I know that phrase has been kind of played out in the past, but I never thought that anyone could, like, achieve that kind of size and just muscularity.
Jeff, for a guy that they say is...
keep right.
This woman doesn't want to let me talk. For a guy who they say is narrow, he doesn't look narrow anymore.
No, not at all. I mean, he's so full and round that, like, you kind of ignore that old narrow clavicle crap. But, you know, the same kind of stuff they try to demonize Flex Wheels physique for. Yeah. But
approaching toll booth.
Oh, that's it. We got to get out the pass now.
Yeah, the procedure is that when I'm driving, Jeff pulls the easy pass out. We go through the toll booth. And
hopefully
all as well. The last toll booth, actually, it didn't turn green. I'm probably going to get a ticket in the mail for fucking $100 because of that stupid thing. But
you will reach a toll booth in half a mile.
It's great that they tell you all this shit, isn't it, Jeff?
Well, you know, and like it also proves that we are doing this on the road. We are doing it unscripted. And, you know, we are doing it with the real Pete the intern, who, of course, is not speaking. But
he never speaks.
Well, he actually does speak. He just, you know, he speaks when spoken to. So.
Pete, what was your experience at the show this time around? You've never been to Boston. You're still a wetback in that respect.
Yeah, no, it's the first time in Boston. But, it was a good show. It was a nice, easy Sunday. It wasn't too hectic, you know. And I'm still looking for my cell phone, by the way, that your crazy driving put under the seat.
I did it on purpose, actually, because I didn't want you to text. I want you to fucking tag pictures on the way home. And Steve Weinberger and Bev Francis were able to put this show on, given the fact that they were in Pittsburgh yesterday, which, by the way, a lot of you might be wondering why we didn't cover the Pittsburgh show. We had our press passes taken away. We were punished this past weekend, so we didn't go. So we figured we would cover the Jay Cutler show the best we could, and hopefully everyone enjoyed all the coverage that we did bring to the table here. But Bev Francis and Steve Weinberg, you know, it's very hard to promote one show, much less attend two shows in one weekend. They went to Pittsburgh, and they flew to here today, and then this show went real late, a lot later than everyone thought. And, my hat goes off to them. I hope Steve made a few bucks, and I know him and Jay are partners on this show, and the show has been getting bigger and better every year. There was over 134 competitors in the show this year, and the Boston crowd is always super, super into what's going on. They buy a lot of products. I know the Species booth sold out of everything that we had, and I couldn't be happier. I had a good time. It's a nice time driving back on a Sunday night. We did miss Game of Thrones, Jeff.
I might catch
a replay when we get back home.
Episode 6 for people who are following.
We can do the Game of Thrones update another time. But look, I'm Dave Palumbo here from the road. We're on I-84 heading west towards the residence of myself, Jeff the producer, Pete the intern in the back tagging pictures. Let's cut back to Dave and Chris.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. Myotropics Physique Nutrition is the most exciting supplement company to come along in decades. That's because Myotropics isn't just another company. It's the brainchild of iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Connolly, the inventor of the original body recomposition product that changed the industry and allowed millions of people to get in the best shape of their life. And CEO Vince Andrich, author of the groundbreaking Physique Athlete Guide. Myotropics' flagship product, Physique 2.0, contains their exclusive Meta Effects Amino CD protein compound that maximizes whole body protein economy, your personal linchpin for gaining and retaining
retaining the most muscle while also shedding maximum body fat. Plus, Physique 2.0 contains the world's first legitimate fat-burning carbohydrate, MetaFX FAO-CHO, for full hard muscle and increased fat burn. If you live to develop the ultimate physique, go with Myotropics, real people that live to develop physique nutrition. Go to Myotropics.com. It's your body. It's your art. Master it. Myotropics.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron
Sirens. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market? Then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at bioflexnutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Our next guest is the new editor-in-chief of the new rxmuscle.com.au website. That is the Aussie bodybuilding website division of RX Muscle. It's my pleasure to welcome Xavier Wills to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Dave. It's a pleasure to be on Heavy Muscle Radio.
Yeah, calling in all the way from Australia. What part of Australia do you actually live in?
Actually from down in Tasmania, which is, it doesn't have a huge population. It's got a population of 500,000, so it's pretty small. It's just, it's actually under the mainland Australia, so I'll be travelling obviously a lot, you know, so as you'd say overseas, which is just over the bit of sea called the Bass Strait, so I'll be travelling over there a lot for shows and to cover them for the Australian viewers.
All right, now I'm geographically challenged when it comes to the continent of Australia. Explain a little bit to me about the geography so that our listeners can kind of get in their head a bearing of what's going on down there.
Okay, so Australia is quite different to America. Like America's got, you know, you got states all over, you know, through the center of America and everything. But in Australia, basically, the main population of Australia is actually down the east coast. So you've got, you know, you've got Queensland up the top. You've got Sydney. You've got Melbourne, you got Australian capital territory, which is kind of in between Sydney and Melbourne. And then below that, you've got Tasmania. So most of it's down, that's all down the east coast of Australia, just on the, you know, right on the coast. So apart from that, you've got, you know, Adelaide along the bottom, and then you've got Western Australia on the right on the left side. But oh, we've got Northern Territory right at the top as well, but that's about it, you know. But it varies like a lot. Like from the top of Australia up in Northern Territory, it's hot, really hot. And down where I am, it's, you know, super cold because we're further away from the equator. So
I see. Now, where's the outback? Where's that part of Australia?
That's in the center of Australia, and it's not, you know, it's not very populated like in the outback. So, but it is big, you know. So the outback will go for, you know, hundreds, thousands of miles, probably.
Oh,
so.
Okay, all right. And there's nothing. There's very little in there. Just wild animals and stuff.
No. It's actually really dangerous to drive. To drive there, so because it's just, there's nothing for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles. So it is actually very dangerous to drive to the outback in case you break down or something like that. You've got to have, you know, kind of the backup plan. There's no phone reception out there or anything. So
Singerman, an assignment maybe?
What's that, sorry?
I could send Aaron Singerman out there on an assignment, you know, into the outback.
I don't think he'd like that. I don't think he'd like that at all.
He likes to travel. I think he would do whatever I asked him to do. All right, let's talk about the site, because you approached Aaron and I, and we were talking back and forth. You're only 22 years old, and you started AussieBodybuilders.com. That was like a little mini Australian website for bodybuilders. And we brainstormed together, and we came up with the idea for doing an rxmuscle.com.au, Australian offshoot of the RX Muscle site, because we do have a lot of Australian fans. And, you know, after talking many times back and forth, we put it all together. And I'm happy to say that now Australia has a version of RX Muscle, which is going to be very similar to what we do on the regular RX Muscle site. There'll be radio programming. You're going to have that. We talked about a name. We haven't really solidified a name yet, but you're going to have an Australian radio show. We have, you have training videos you do. You do contest wrap-up type stuff on there, and pictures and... I'm excited, and I have to say that Sally Taylor did a phenomenal job designing the logo with the Australian flag.
She's
there.
Done an amazing job with that. I'm very happy with Sally. You know, she I woke up one day and she had about 10-15 emails from her in my inbox. So I was, you know, incredibly impressed how she's you know, kind of run the site and started up.
Now we have to also thank Bulk Nutrients and BioFlex, who are the main sponsors of the rxmuscle.com.au website. And without them and their support, we wouldn't be able to do this. Give me an idea of what your vision for the site is moving forward into the future. Obviously, just started, so we're just starting to put content up. Where would you like to see it going? What kind of content are you going to be covering, and how are you going to handle it?
Well, basically, it's going to be an Australian version of what you've... I'm going to take a lot of what... you guys already do with the, you know, the lifestyle videos, the contest coverage, the pitches, the training videos, all that stuff that you do already, and the radio shows, of course, all that stuff you do already, but on an Australian level. So in Australia right now, there's really nothing, you know. If you want to see photos of the contest, you've got to hope someone posts it on Facebook, you know. That's about all you get. Or maybe you'll get it in a magazine 3 months later or something like that. So at the moment, it's really, really limited in Australia what you get as far as contest goes, contest coverage. So basically, anything, like my idea with the first site that I started, AussieBodybuilders.com, was just putting something out there, and it was, I knew it was going to be popular because there's nothing. So,
right.
You know, I had, you know, on some videos I had, you know, 45,000 hits and stuff, but just because there's nothing out there already. So... if we can just make an Australian version of the current RX Muscle with the amount of fans there are in Australia and the amount of people that follow it, even if they're not bodybuilders per se, they're, you know, they just like going to the gym and they just kind of admire bodybuilding, they're going to come to the site, you know. So like, I've got a lot of friends that don't really have much interest in bodybuilding. They just go to the gym, but they still love to see bodybuilders train. They still know who Ronnie Coleman is. They know who Jay Cutler is. And yeah, that's what we want to see. So I think it's more popular on that level probably in Australia, in terms of the people that aren't into bodybuilding like it more. But yeah, I just think with the following, it'll be able to grow and grow, and we'll be able to get more sponsors, and yeah, just grow into what RX Muscle is now, but on an Australian level.
And with Chewbacca going to the kangaroo ranches out there and pole dancing, I mean, you got built-in content right there, right off the bat. right off the bat.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But you are right. There's a lot of, you know, when you look at the rankings and we look at our traffic numbers, Australia is huge because there is no place to go. So now, not only they can go to the regular RX Muscle website, but they actually have a home of their own. And I know you're going to be nurturing that and doing some great contest coverage using our database to tag shows and once again, get some of the local bodybuilding stars in the Australia area on the radio show so that people can get to know who these guys are, because we really don't get a chance to know who these guys are unless they do well at Tony Doherty's show that he holds once a year. So hopefully you'll be doing some good coverage out there.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, I can just imagine it being, you know, the new, you know, RX Muscle, like basically on the Australian level. So, you know, RX Muscle, how old is RX Muscle now? 3 years?
Yeah, we're just on our fourth year now. So we're moving on to 4th year.
Exactly. Like, I'm hoping in 3 years' time that, you know, we'll be, you know, kind of on the same level, but in Australia. So
I do too.
We work with the RX Muscle site. So, you know.
I'm confident. Now, Xavier, you had an interesting childhood and upbringing. You had a lot of obstacles to overcome and a lot of adversity. You know, I grew up and I lost my mom when she was 14 of cancer. It was a terrible thing, a tragedy in my life. And probably it took me a very long time up until recently till I really dealt with that and got over it. And I don't know if you ever really get over it. Talk to me a little bit about some of the stuff you've gone over or experienced in your very young life at this point and obstacles and how you overcame them.
Yeah, well, basically, all through my life, you know, I've got a younger brother who has very severe autism, you know, like he's very... it's been taxing on our whole family, because he can't speak, he can't do a lot of things for himself. He needs to be watched 24/7, a lot of seizures and stuff like that. So that's been hard, you know, for the whole, you know, childhood.
How old is he?
Childhood. So, he's a couple of years younger than me. He's probably about 19 now.
Was that rough for you? So, because when you grew up, I'm sure your brother got a lot more attention from you because your parents had to obviously, cater to his handicap in a sense. Did you feel like you were neglected at all?
Not really. I've got two great parents, so I'm very, very lucky with that. They're both amazing people. Like when a lot of people would crumble, they haven't, you know. So I'm very lucky to have two excellent parents. And, you know, it's kind of in a way, like my brother didn't need as much stuff bought for him and stuff like that because he doesn't care too much about certain material possessions. So I was kind of spoiled in a way. The other way, but it kind of was hard. Like, you know, it took a lot of time away from me spending time with my dad and stuff like that because he was the only one that could really handle him properly. But I have had a, you know, considering the situation with that, I have had a good childhood so far with that.
Do you feel you learned a lot of compassion from that? Because I've talked to you before. You seem like a very compassionate guy. You're very passionate about and passionate about what you do, which is bodybuilding. Do you think that developed because of growing up with a brother who has, like, you know, is a little different?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's maybe more understanding. You know, like a lot of kids at school, you know, will be very, you know, ignorant to certain things and very, you know, closed-minded. So I'm very open-minded to things, I think. And I think that's really taught, you know, instilled that in me and, you know, changed the way kind of I've, you know, become a person. So, yeah, I think it's kind of almost been a good thing for me as a person. But obviously, you know, hard thing, you know, for my brother and my family and stuff like that.
Gotcha. And talk to me a little bit about what happened to your girlfriend, too, because that's a serious tragedy. I can't even imagine having to go through that.
Yeah. Well, it was actually my high school girlfriend. So I met her in grade seven. But, you know, we started dating, I suppose, in grade 10. And, you know, we left high school and we remained for a few years. And then she was actually diagnosed with cancer, which is a very rare form of cancer. It's called rhabdomyosarcoma, mm-hmm. Which actually develops in the muscle cell, mm-hmm. I believe. So she got that. And when she's, you know, she came to me, I think about a month before she's actually diagnosed and said, you know, what's this lump? And it was just above her chest. And I was thinking, that's not really anything. That's just like, you know, you've got bones and muscles and stuff in there. And I said, look, I've got that kind of stuff, you know. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's nothing. And it was a very small lump at that point. Mm-hmm. And then it's about 3 weeks later, she came to me and said, you know, check out this lump. It's, you know, it's got bigger. And then I saw her and I was like, oh, shit. I was just... You know, it's kind of one of those sinking feelings and you think, like, that's the first thing that came to my head, you know, could be cancer because it was quite big at that point.
Right.
And And, you know, we actually got in an argument about her going to the doctor about it because she didn't want to go to the doctor. So I was, you know, saying, no, you've got to go, you've got to go. So she, I think she went to work the next day and then went to the doctor. And she went with her family and stuff. She said, I'll be fine, you know, and all that. And I wasn't hearing from her. So I was thinking, you know, what's going on? I was calling her, I was texting her and wasn't getting any reply. And then she told me and it was, you know, this very sinking feeling. But they said they still wasn't sure. So this doctor stupidly said it was a lymphoma, which is obviously a much better scenario. And so she actually ended up, she got booked into a specialist a week later. So it took a week to get into another specialist. Wow. And in that time, she was getting sicker. She was actually started, you know, vomiting and stuff. And I was saying, you know, we have to take it to a hospital. And then we got into the specialist a bit early and he basically said, you have to go to hospital right now and have treatment straight away.
Wow.
So that was, you know, incredibly hard to deal with because in that time, in that, you know, 5 or so days, she went from having, you know, a lump on her chest that was, you know, reasonable size to it, you know, probably almost doubling. And we also found another lump on her neck and one on her arm.
Wow, grew that fast. Holy mackerel.
It grew incredibly fast. They said it was almost at the stage where it was almost doubling each day. So they said it's, you know, such an aggressive form of cancer that if it's not treated, it, you know, it basically takes your body over straight away. So when she went in, she had very dramatic chemotherapy. So she had, I think it was 5 days straight, she had very heavy doses. She went in being, you know, and stuff fine, but she had to have a, you know, breathing mask on the whole time, you know, so, just so she could. And she, you know, we actually saw the tumours going down. You know, I'd go in every day because her parents stayed in at night.
Right.
That stage overnight with her. And I'd go in the next day and it'd be smaller. So it was, you know, they actually thought that she was going to pass away in hospital then. But that was when she was 17 and I was 17. So it was, you know, it was a huge shock. It was just something very hard to deal with. But she never actually, you know, I never actually really found out straight away how severe it was, how like severe the cancer was and that she could pass away initially. So she was, you know, she's in hospital for about 2 weeks or something and she said, I can't handle being in here anymore. And I think she had a bit of a cry to the nurses and got let out early.
Right.
And she continued to have treatment for, I think it was about 4 months until she, or 5 months until she went into remission. So that was like...
Oh, she did go into like remission. That's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Then the doctor said they were shocked and, you know, she was a very quiet girl, like very, very quiet. She was but very strong-minded. So anyone that knew her thought she would, you know, probably crumble under her own pressure. But, she, you know, she had treatment for, I think it was 11 months straight. And, you know, every 3 weeks she'd have a large dose of chemo and get incredibly sick for about a week where she was vomiting for. You know, couldn't keep down food or anything like that. And then so she'd have a big treatment, then next week have a small one and a small one the next week.
And that
week,
was continuous for how long? So how long was that continuous for?
11 months. 11 wow. months. Oh, actually, in that time, she did have about 4 weeks off where she had radiotherapy, but that wasn't fun either, you know. So, yeah, she actually went into remission after the 11 months. She stopped the treatment. She was fine. She eased back into work and stuff like that. We actually went on a holiday because I started dieting for a contest and I was up in Queensland and I competed and we went to a place called Hamilton Island, which is just off Australia on the Great Barrier Reef. So we went there and then she started, while we was away, she said, you know, I've got a sore back. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I said, oh, you know, it's probably nothing because I thought, you know, we're on holiday and stuff. And if it is something, then we can't, you know, we can fly back.
But right.
It could just be a sore back, you know. So we went back to the doctor and she didn't think it was going to be anything. And basically they gave us the news that, you know, she, you know, when you go in, when you relapse after having rhabdomyosarcoma, you basically don't, you can't get rid of it after that or very, very hard. So
how long did she live for after that?
She actually lived 9 months. They said it was going to be weeks or a month. You know, they said it could be days, weeks or a month. And she lived 9 months. So she, you know, she was incredibly resilient. She said, you know, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to beat it. So, I've never known someone to be so, you know, resilient and so sure of it, you know. And I quit my job and luckily she had a very well-off uncle who, you know, paid her parents and stuff just basically so they didn't have to work. So that was like, that was a huge thing, you know, able to be with your daughter and stuff so much longer.
What did you come away from this whole experience with? I mean, it must have been very traumatic, especially when she did pass away, and coming away from what did you do, and did you dedicate anything to her? And I mean, does it still affect you, and do you think about it still?
Initially I didn't really deal with it, you know. After it happened, I couldn't eat, couldn't do anything for a while. But you know, her name's Sophie. Their family is incredibly supportive, and you know, I stayed up there and at their house for like about 6 months. Most of the time for 6 months anyway. And I just kind of eased back into things, and I actually went to work for Bulk Nutrients. After that, the sponsor of RX Muscle Australia. So sure. I went to work for him, and he gave me a job, and which is like incredibly nice of him. So he might not have had a position there. So he gave me a job, and I started working for him. And, I just kind of started to get my life back on track, and my friends were great. That was all very supportive. And, I think like it made me a stronger person, and made me appreciate life more, and made me, I suppose, just work through. You know, if I'm having a bad day, you know, I always used to think about what she used to go through. So It's like if I'm having a shit day, if I feel tired, if I don't feel like working or something, I think about what she had to go through, and, you know, she didn't have a choice. So I suppose it instilled like more strength and more work ethic and stuff like that in me. And I suppose that's why I've started to, you know, build this site and stuff like that, because I don't want to be like how some people are, and they go out and drink every weekend and do nothing with their lives. So I wanted to actually do something. So I think it's kind of built me as a person and made me who I am. So, yeah.
Well, that was a good, you know, a lot of people don't go through that so young, and you seem to have come out pretty well adjusted. And unfortunately, everyone at RX Muscle, I'm sure, is sorry for your loss. And, like I said, we always have to use what happens in our life to make us stronger and move on. Some people crumble, and like you said, they go out and do drugs and stuff like that, and they make a mess of their life, but obviously you're doing something constructive, and we appreciate that. And we obviously appreciate what you're doing with the RX Muscle site over there in Australia, because IP bodybuilders over there deserve a voice, and you're going to be the voice of the site. Now, are you going to be writing articles too, or do you have some people working with you over there? What's going on with that?
I'm going to be writing some articles as well. I'll write articles just on just different things, basically. Like, I won't particularly write them on nutrition or diet, nutrition or training and stuff like that. More so just on the way I see things in bodybuilding and stuff like that. We've got a few people writing for the site. We've got Harry. Oh, I can't remember his last name at the moment. Someone tipped my tongue, but he's writing articles for the site. He's incredibly knowledgeable.
We got some Australian people over there doing some stuff with stuff. Yeah.
So we've got a lot of people doing stuff like that. And also the show's... I won't be at. There will be other... I've got other teams out there in like New South Wales and Queensland and stuff like that to cover shows for me. And I'll be at basically all the Victorian shows to cover all those shows, which is Melbourne, Victoria. So we've got a whole team. And it's been amazing. Like, when the site went up and I posted all over Facebook and on the forum, all that kind of stuff, the amount of support has been incredible. I've had a photographer... email me, said he wants to, you know, do stuff for the site. I've had a few other guys just say, oh, you know, I want to write articles for the site. I want to do this. I want to do it anyway. It's actually been amazing. Like, I've been, you know, I found it actually incredible. And it's basically because I've had the RX name, you know, associated with the site. So, yeah, it's just incredible what a name can kind of do, you know.
Well,
so
we don't just give the name to anyone. You earned the right to have that name because you showed us that you are willing to work and that you have a lot of passion. And I believe in people who have a passion for something that they do and who are willing to do the work and are not lazy. And you proved that you're just as crazy as Aaron and I are. So we're very happy to have Xavier Wills on board. Check out the website. It's rxmuscle.com.au. That's .au for Australia. And I got to just say, I'm excited to see what you're going to be putting on that site. I've been checking it every day. I feel like now I have another thing to check. I have a whole like checklist of all the sites I go to and all the different parts of RX Muscle I go to. Now I check AU every single day, and you've been adding stuff to it. I like it. And I know the radio show is in the works, and hopefully in another week or so that should launch. And hopefully you'll get me as a guest on the radio show so we can really do some good stuff.
Yeah, I'd love to have you as a guest on the radio show, Dave. It'd be excellent. It's actually quite amazing that, you know, we're I followed this site, you know, RX Muscle, since it started, and to be a part of it now is just, it's almost like it's overwhelming. So it's really an honor. I want to thank you. I want to thank Aaron, because Aaron really did, you know, he came out to Australia. He came on my radio show initially. This is how kind of it started.
Sure.
He came on my radio show, and I'm sure he would never heard of it. You know, he wouldn't have any idea if it was popular or not popular or whatever. But he came on and told his story, which is interesting. And then he came out to Australia, and then, you know, he talked to you, and you guys came up with the idea and stuff. So, and then obviously Bold Nutrients jumped on board with all their great products and stuff. And they said, you know, I talked to Ben about it, the owner, and I explained to him, and I said, you know, why don't we do a conference call and talk to about with Dave and Aaron. And I knew once he talked to you guys, you know, you guys, he's asking me questions that I couldn't answer. So when you guys kind of instilled it in him and told him, it was very hard for me. You know, Ben said, what about this? I'm like, well, I don't really know. So
I've been doing this for a couple of years, Avery. Just a few years, you're more than you. So yeah, I kind of know what's going on with the business. But like I said, we know, you and I both know that the internet is where it's at. I mean, if you want up to the minute, up to the second updates anywhere in the world, in the bodybuilding world, now even in Australia, you can check out rxmuscle.com.au. I'm excited. Check out the new Aussie Muscle radio show is going to be coming up. We're going to be putting that on the site as well, and you'll have all the contest coverage. So, Xavier, keep in touch with us. You're going to be updating us on a regular basis. We'll have you on here, especially when we have some big shows out in Australia, to get your feedback. And I'm happy to be able to say that we have a sister organization halfway across the globe.
Thank you very much, David. It's an honor to be a part of RX Muscle.
All right. Xavier Wills, Australia Muscle God, rxmuscle.com.au.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on rxmuscle.com. Myotropics Physique Nutrition is the most exciting supplement company to come along in decades. That's because Myotropics isn't just another company. It's the brainchild of iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Connolly, the inventor of the original body recomposition product that changed the industry and allowed millions of people to get in the best shape of their life. And CEO Vince Andrich, author of the groundbreaking Physique Athlete Guide. Myotropics' flagship product, Physique 2.0, contains their exclusive Meta Effects Amino CD protein compound that maximizes whole body protein economy, your personal linchpin for gaining and retaining the most muscle while also shedding maximum body fat. Plus, Physique 2.0 contains the world's first legitimate fat-burning carbohydrate, Meta Effects FAO-CHO, for full hard muscle and increased fat burn. If you live to develop the ultimate physique, go with Myotropics, real people that live to develop physique nutrition. Go to myotropics.com. It's your body. It's your art. Master it. Myotropics.com.
There are three aspects to athletic performance: energy, endurance, and recovery. And there is one nutrient that enhances all three: oxygen. Maximize explosiveness and power, increase reps, improve muscular endurance, dramatically reduce recovery times, and enhance mental focus. No matter what your sport, no matter what your level, it's all about oxygen. Check out oxygenforenergy.com. 95% pure oxygen for serious athletes. That's oxygen, the number four, energy.com.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to tadthedietcoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years' experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom-tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to tadthedietcoach.com or send an email to info@tadthedietcoach.com.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step, that extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX.
RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop. And also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australia. Bodybuilding.
RXMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RXMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RXMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Our next guest is one of the premier, extraordinary, as I like to say it, posers of the modern era. He's been here before. I just saw him guest posing after 30 years in the business at the NPC Emerald Cup 30th anniversary, ironically enough. He is the one and the only, Russ Testo. Welcome.
Great to be here, Dave. Thank you.
Russ, 30 years you've been doing this, the guest posing jobs?
30 years. This past October 10th was 30 years that I first guest posed at the 1981 Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, people don't realize that. You guest posed. I mean, here you got the Mr. Olympia contest, the premier event in the world, and you actually guest posed it there. When they asked you to do that, I mean, you must have been flabbergasted.
Well, I had to audition.
You did.
What happened was I had competed that same year, 2 months prior, at the Natural Mr. America in Utica, New York, that Tom Sciola put on. Mm-hmm. And a gentleman by the name of Kurt Haywood competed in the over 40 division. And at the time, he was very close with Arnold Schwarzenegger, helping Arnold and Jim Lorimer backstage producing those shows. So he saw me compete, saw me perform, and thought it would be a great idea to see if Arnold and Jim would be interested in using me to guest pose that year. So my brother and I drove out to Columbus, Ohio, not knowing what would happen. Mm-hmm. I auditioned for Arnold and Jim the night before on October 9th. Wow. They liked what they saw, and I had a little bit of competition there. There happened to be a 12-year-old from Canada there.
You had to audition against a 12-year-old.
Yeah, and, you know, so he had a pretty good physique at 12 years old, and he was pretty good, you know, he's a pretty good poser. So what they did was, if you remember at the time, they used to have both the Mr. International and the Mr. Olympia at the same time. And so what they did was they put him on during the Mr. International, which was pretty much before the Mr. Olympia. And then they had me perform about halfway through. Oh, no, that's what they did. They had me perform after the Mr. International, right before the Mr. Olympia. And so here's a cute story that goes with it. Because I was right, I was going on right before the Mr. Olympia competitors.
Right.
I was backstage pumping up with Franco and Danny Padilla and Tom Platz and Roy Callender.
How old were you at the time, Russ?
I was 24.
You must have been like a kid in Disneyland back there.
Yeah, I mean, I went from just competing in normal amateur contests to all of a sudden I'm backstage with the best in the world.
Yeah.
And Arnold was back there too with his headphones on, running everything.
Wow.
And so I'm getting ready, I'm pumping up, and so is Franco, and he says to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm up, Franco. I'm getting ready. I'm going on to guest pose. He says, why? Like, you know, as in, you know, I don't know who you are. You have no titles. You're this little guy. Why are you guest posing?
That's pretty mean.
So
of
I explained.
You know, it's backstage of the Olympia. He can't keep his fucking mouth shut, you know?
So anyway, I explained to him that I had something different, a routine combining robot movements and pantomime and dance, and he, very interesting, you know, that strong Sardinian accent that he had. And he didn't see it, but the next day in the cafe, in the hotel, I happened to be there, and his wife, what was his wife's name, Maria? No.
I don't think I didn't even know he had a wife.
Yeah, back then, I forget. Anyway, she said to me, she said, yeah, that was a really good routine, and then Franco said, oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. And then 2 years later, at the 1983 Mr. Olympia, I guest posed again. That was my second one. That was in Munich, Germany.
Wow. They flew you out.
And when he saw that, he pulled me aside and he said, you're one of the best posers I've ever seen. You should be giving lessons to the pros.
Wow, that's a huge compliment.
Yes.
Now, prior to actually this 81 Olympia where you guest posed, how did you actually even get into the whole posing game? Like, how did you, I mean, as an amateur, have such a high level of performance? Did you have a dance background? Where did it come from?
It's definitely a gift. The whole posing thing was what I was more sensitive to within the whole sport. I enjoyed that part the most. And then when I was first exposed to Ed Corney, I don't remember if I first saw him in magazines or just on TV or in the Pumping Iron movie, but he was classical. You know, he was the best back then. He was the master poser, and his style was just so graceful and fluid and very beautiful to watch. And that's who I modeled myself after first. So I was winning best poser awards in every contest that offered it with that style of posing.
Right.
But as a kid, watching Shields and Yarnell and other people on TV that were animated and made the sounds of machines or, you know, did imitations of sounds and things like that, I always loved that type of entertainment. But Shields and Yarnell, that husband and wife team that used to do sketches as robots, it gave me the idea to put robot movements into a posing routine.
That's interesting. We're really dating ourselves, because I know what you're talking about, but probably a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, people have no idea what, yeah, they won't know.
And they don't understand. I think they don't realize that Vince Taylor copied you, basically, when he made that Terminator routine.
Well, you know, I mean, he definitely did it after me, and there were other people that used robot movements and stuff after me. Whether they actually got it from me, I don't know for sure. But I never knew of anyone before myself that used robot, mime, or dance in a posing routine. That same night, Lynn Conkright guest posed with, they did a mixed pairs, her and Chris Dickerson.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a couple of back layovers, a couple of gymnastic type moves.
Right. No one was ever, let's not even mince the words here. No one was even close to the stuff that you're doing. They're still not even close to the stuff that you're doing even today. Kai Greene had said that he was inspired by you, but I don't think he's ever even come close to emulating what you do on stage. If people have never seen it, you know, you got to go and check out the videos. I mean, you're still doing it after all these years. And you had a good physique back in the day. I mean, you still have a good physique for a guy 55 years old, but you had an excellent physique. How come you never really pursued it, you know, the physique aspect of it further than you did? You little genre of the of just guest posing routines.
I never really believed that I had a good enough physique to make it to the pro level, and make it that way. Once this whole posing thing opened up, I felt I had my my niche, that my specialty. That if I was going to make money, if I was going to make a living at this, this is the only way I think I was going to do it. So, and I looked at it as I was the only professional guest poser that didn't compete. I was able to guest pose without titles.
Yeah, I know. That was why a lot of people probably don't know you maybe as well as they should, because you didn't compete. But anyone who attended contests, you know, and has seen you will never forget, you know, the routines that you do.
Thank you.
Now you also do something a lot different than other. I mean, I did guest posing jobs and I would do some entertaining routines, but you do something that no one does. You do they're like mini Broadway shows. They last 5 to 7 to 10 minutes sometimes. I've seen you pose. How do you even have the endurance to go that long?
I just, the first routine, what I call the original, the one that I auditioned for Arnold, right, the one that I first performed at the 81 Mr. Olympia, that one was 4 minutes and 10 seconds, 4 minutes and 20 seconds long.
No one did routines like that.
I just from the beginning, just choreographing these longer than usual routines. And then it just continued. The longest routine, I think, the longest routine is the 10-minute... Oh, what am I talking about? I was going to say the 10-minute patriotic medley. No, the longest routine I have is literally 15, 20 minutes long.
20
but
minutes.
I've never actually had the chance to do it because no one will let me go that long. Yeah. It is my 25-year medley. When I hit 25 years, I put together a medley of about 20 different routines that I've choreographed over the years.
Wow.
And I've only been able to do maybe bits of it.
Yeah, well, it's hard to some of these shows are strange. How come you've never gone on like America's Got Talent or something like that? I think you'd be a great act on there. Fantastic act, as a matter of fact.
I have thought about it since season one, and I need to know some details, Dave. For example, are you allowed to use the original music?
You can use it
from the rules that I've read. You're not allowed to, but yet I hear it. I hear original music.
Oh, you
from
can
the
use whatever you want. They don't care. Yeah, they don't care. You can use whatever you want.
They don't
care. No, yeah, you got to go audition. Tricky Jackson did it, and he got on. He made it to the to Las Vegas there. And he wasn't even that good.
Yeah, I saw that last year.
He wasn't even that good. You know, he would say it himself. He has one routine. You have so many different routines that you can constantly keep showing them new stuff, you know, which is, I think, what they want, you know, from week to week. I think we got to get, I got to call Howard Stern and get you on that show, man. This is, he's a judge now, you know.
I know.
Like I have Howard Stern's cell phone number, I'm saying, you're right. maybe you could call Arnold up. Would Arnold still recognize you? Does he know who you are?
Yeah, you know, I wonder. I haven't been in his presence in a long time. I don't know if he would remember me now. I think he might.
He would.
But the last time was, I think the last time I was in his presence was 1999.
That's not too long ago. I think he would remember just because you were such a great poser. If you got called to Arnold's people and said, "Hey, I'd like to, you know, talk to Arnold," and imagine he got back to you and you said, "Look, Arnold, do you have any connections with America's Got Talent? I'm looking to get on the show. You know, I'm 55 years old now, and I think I still got it. And I think that would be great. I'd love to see you on there. I mean, you'd really showcase your talents. And even if you didn't win, who cares? You know, you know how many people would
and
be reinvigorated
kidding.
Because there's so many people out there that are so horrible at posting. I wish you, you know, originally I wish you lived closer, but now I understand you're doing a lot of posing and choreography online. Is that true?
It's not so much online, but it is by video or DVD. A contestant sends me their music. Mm-hmm. I choreograph a routine to fit their specs, quote unquote, to steal from the computer language. Their specs meaning, you know, the preferred size for side chest, side tricep, how they do the front double, that type thing. Choreograph, and then I put it on a DVD and I break it down. I just don't sh- show them the routine, and that's it. They're on their own, but I teach it. I break it down step by step, pose by pose, and they learn from watching the DVD.
That's awesome. I think that's a great service you offer.
And it works. It really works. It works well.
Now, you break down the moves in the video so that they understand how to execute them properly?
Yes, because if there's one thing that has irritated me, speaking of computer, I remember when I first bought a computer, and you know, you read these manuals, and I'm saying to myself, you got to be kidding me. This is not broken down enough for me. So I look at it, if I'm going to teach somebody something, I want to break it down to make it as easy as possible. So I break down each pose and each move, and I show the footwork, and I even talk about each pose, how that should be done correctly. But at the same time, I don't want it to be a Rush Testo routine.
Sure.
I try to keep it for them. That's why I need to know their specs, mm-hmm. how they do their side chest, how they do their front double. Do they put a leg out to the side? Do they put a leg to the front? That type thing.
Do you do personalized stuff too, like people who come up to you, or there are people like who locally?
Yes, I will do one-on-one, and some long-distance people have come to me. Sure, we can do that too.
I would love to see some of these pro bodybuilders take a, you know, they go out to California and they train at Charles Glass for fucking 6 weeks. I'd like to send a couple of them up to you for a couple of days just to have you, you know, work on their posing with them and presentation, you know, because I think we would see so many better routines out there if that was the case. I mean, because no one puts any effort into these routines, and it's almost boring to watch. You know, it's sad that it's boring to watch the Mr. Olympia contest, but sometimes it is because of that.
Yes. Dave, without sounding arrogant or cocky, if I had the opportunity, I could choreograph every one of those routines for every one of those Olympia competitors, and they would all be different, and it would make for a much better show.
You're right. That's not even a bad idea. The Robin Chang should you know, contract you to do this. Think about the appeal to the show if everyone, you know, almost like Dancing with the Stars, everyone had a separate routine choreographed for them. They had to work on it. They had a week, you know, before the show to perfect it. And it would almost be like, you know, like a TV show almost. I think that would be a phenomenal idea. You know,
it would just make the sport so much better. And you're right. These guys don't care about their routine. But at the same time, I got to say this too. If something is not judged, why should they work on it?
True, you're right. Then there is no reason, and now that they specifically say they don't judge it, now no one does anything, no work on it.
The reason they should, Russ,
is because you know what? That's how you get guest posing jobs.
And, yeah, there you go.
You know, sure. If you do a fantastic routine out there, and someone sees it and promoters see it, they're gonna be like, I got to get that guy for my show, my local show. He's gonna be great. And I mean, that's, you made your living on that. You're still making your living on that. People don't realize you were at the NPC Emerald Cup this year. Not only did you guest pose once, because they have a 2-day show. Not only did you guest pose twice, you guest posed 3 times. I mean,
yes, sir.
That's people don't realize that's insane. And one of them was really fun. You did a little routine with a bunch of guys. I don't know how long it took you to choreograph that routine, but it was fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when that idea first materialized. It must have been when they did that movie about the Temptations. For those who are listening, we did a routine to My Girl by the Temptations, and for the longest time I thought 5 guys performing like the Temptations, doing their moves, but making it a posing routine, and so I. Finally, and what happened was Dave Patterson, who's well known out there, he said to me last year when we were at the Vancouver Natural, he said to me, Russ, you and I need to do something together. And I said, Dave, I already have the idea. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it hasn't materialized yet. I need to put it together. So I finally got to it in the beginning of January, and I had to choreograph all 5 parts, and I sent it to them on DVD.
Oh, is that how you guys did it? I was wondering how you guys were so in sync after only 2 days of practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's on rxmuscle.com, the video. It's also on our YouTube page. And it's Russ with a bunch of guys, you know, doing My Girl from the, you know, like the Temptations. It was great. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, it was something different, you know, because you weren't star and center. You kind of were the kind of like the background guy. But I could tell it had Russ Testo written all over you, all over the routine, because
thank you.
Had your trademark on it, which is good. I think you should get into doing more of that. I would like to see more group. You know, when I go to these Olympias and these Arnolds, they have these Cirque du Soleil guys. And I got to be honest with you, Russ. To me, it doesn't interest me. I go to the bathroom when they go on because I want to see bodybuilding. I would rather see you choreograph some kind of crazy routine. It doesn't even have to be you. If you can choreograph something interesting, that would be much better in my mind. I think you got to call Jim Lorimer up again and talk to him about this, because obviously you've done stuff with him before. Say, look, it doesn't have to be me. I'll choreograph a whole show almost, you know. Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I was speaking to that. I tried to get a hold of Jim last July, last year, because I wanted to mention to him how it will be 30 years. 30 years was coming up in October. Right. Would you consider bringing me back for the Arnold? And he never got back to me. I was quite surprised with that.
That's interesting. But, he's usually pretty good like that.
Yeah, but, you know, because, like you said, I'm still active. I'm still doing it. And, Dave, this sport could be so much more than it is. You know, the emphasis is still too much from the neck down. I'm not saying we want skinny guys up there doing anything they want, or just because they got a good posing routine, they should be up there. Yes, the physique is very important. We need to be muscular. We need to be defined. But the art, what has happened to the art? We have an art that, to me, it's as good as a gymnastics routine or a dance routine. Why do people like to watch gymnastics routines? Because there's choreography, there's music, there's movement involved. We have the same thing, but it's just not being done correctly. The music is still too much background.
Yeah.
With the choreography. And for me, that's part of the gift that I mentioned. For me to move, to do something to music, it was only natural to move to the music. When I used to play hockey, I grew up playing hockey, and back when we were teenagers, we were starving for ice time. There were only two rinks in the area here. So I used to go over to my friend's house, and we used to practice our puck handling in his garage because he had a nice, smooth surface. This was during the summertime. What did we do? We used to put the radio on, you know, teenagers. We're psyched. We got the music going, the whole bit. I used to try to puck handle to the music.
That's so
funny.
To try
to dribble the puck to them. And it was just natural to move to the music. So when I got into the bodybuilding thing, of course, if you're going to have music, you got to move to the music.
Interesting.
But that's not the way most people think.
No, but you know what? You have it in your blood. But I would like to see, seriously, this is my dream. One day, maybe I'll see. I'd like to see you choreograph a routine, and you could be in it too, because I think it's important. You, Kai Green, Tricky Jackson, and maybe one other guy that's well known for posing, maybe like a Darren Charles. I'd like to see almost a 20-minute event to call it. I don't even want to call it a routine, but an event where you would choreograph the whole thing. I think, because you guys all have completely different physiques, and I think it could be an amazing type of performance that probably no one would forget for the next 30 years, I bet you. And I think if you don't do it, no one will ever be able to do it, because I don't think there's anyone who can choreograph. There's good posers in our industry, but I don't think anyone can choreograph the way you can. You're almost like Bob Fosse. You know, you're like a Broadway, you know, director as well as a performer.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. Thank you.
I bet you these guys would do it too. I bet you they would want to do it. I bet you if you contacted them and said, "Look, I'm going to send you I'm going to choreograph this thing. I'm going to send you your parts, and we're going to perform it, and you're going to make maybe." You could make some kind of presentation to either Robin Chang or Jim Lorimer or something like that at one of these upcoming shows that you can do it at. I think it would be fantastic. It would be mind-boggling. It would really put a new spin on performance, and maybe it would make the judges want to score the posing routine when they see the beauty of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing with judging posing, our sport is considered subjective, correct? It's not like it's not like either you put the puck in the net or you put the basket, put the ball in the basket, or even in weightlifting, either you lift the weight or you don't. It's kind of it's subjective in judges' eyes. But if there's one part that could be, I think, a little bit more objective, it can be the posing. But we haven't defined necessarily rights and wrongs with posing. For example, a lot of times contestants will come out and the judges say, "Will you put your heels together, please?" Well, why should the judges say that? Why don't they just immediately take points off for a contestant who doesn't do it?
True.
It's an objective move, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, for example, when I teach front double bicep, you know, you want to have your shoulders down. If your shoulders are shrugged, your lats, you're going to lose the width in your lats. So if they see a bodybuilder with shoulders shrugged, you take points off. I mean, I'm not the one to say, you know, what's absolutely right and what's absolutely wrong. I'm just going by what I teach. But I think if some standards could be established, then I think it can be a little bit more objective and not so subjective.
True. But I think that also, I think performance is such a, it really gets you on such a deep level that I think that judges really, I mean, while some people might like one routine more than another, I think that routines really, I mean, it's a much better way to judge, you know. I don't see why that shouldn't be rewarded in the routine. I mean, in fitness, they reward the fitness routine. Why not rewarding the body? It doesn't have to be 30% of their routine or 50% of their routine of the score, but it could be 20%. You know, that could swing, make, you know, that could be a swing, you know, type of thing in a very close contest. And I think it would definitely, I think, in my mind, improve the sport in that sense. But I could see separating. I could see making performance, like a performance group that goes around the country doing different performances, you know, almost like, I think back, do you remember the Traveling Wilburys when they got all these, they got the George Harrison from the Beatles, and they got Roy Orbison, and they got all these guys together from different groups, and they toured the country, and they did an album together. I would like to see you and some of the top guys in our sport who are great posers do that, and even if it's only one time, you know, for the rest of your life, just to have it on record, I think, because I think it would bring the bodybuilding to the mainstream America. I think they would be able to relate to it better.
Exactly. That's exactly. Exactly. You're very right.
You guys can perform on a show, America's Got Talent, like that. People would go freaky crazy. They would be like, "This is unbelievable. I've never seen guys that look like this or can move like this."
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Russ, look, it's been great talking to you. It was great seeing you at the Emerald Cup. You still look phenomenal. You're always in. I've never seen you out of shape. And so that just says a lot about your dedication to the sport. How do people get in touch with you if they want to get personal training advice, or they want to get, you know, choreography from you, or anything else related to any services that you provide?
Let's keep it simple, and I'll just give you two email addresses.
Okay.
One is rtesto 356 at AOL.com.
Okay.
Or there's always Russ at RussTesto.com.
Okay, that's easy enough.
So just, you know?
Russ at RussTesto.com. If you want to get in touch with him. And Russ will not only choreograph a routine, he'll break down the moves to you, he'll send you a video, he'll do it, customize it to the music of your liking. And if you want to go see Russ in person, you live where now? You still up in Utica area?
I'm in Troy.
Troy,
New York, which is near Albany. Okay, so you can always do it that way. And just to also, if you live in the Midwest, if you live in the Illinois, I'll be in the Peoria, Washington, Illinois area next week, May 12th, for the Heart of America Bodybuilding Fitness Figure Competition, I should say, NGA, Heart of America, and giving a seminar also that weekend. So check it out. Find it online. I'll be there.
Well, I'm looking forward to hopefully someone will videotape that routine, but we have tons of Russ Testo stuff on rxmuscle.com. You want to check it out. I'm sure you got plenty of stuff on YouTube as well. Russ, great talking to you, and keep in touch with us.
Dave, thank you so much for another opportunity. Great to speak with you.
The one and only Russ Testa.
And that's it for this week's Heavy Muscle Radio. This is Jeff, the producer, and the reason why you're not hearing Dave Palumbo's voice is because he's not here. So I'm sure if he was, he would be thanking both Russ Testo and Xavier Wills for stopping by. And until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo only on Heavy Muscle Radio.